Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya
Radha
Madhava Kunja Bihari Mukhi Janaman Nabha Nirabadhari गोपी जन वल्लभ निरवण धारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन Jamuna Tira Balachara Jamuna Tira Balachara Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Vallabha Nirabada Dhari Gopijana Vallabha Nirabada Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janarandana Pura Nandana Vraja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanasya Tira Vanasya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Nirabada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Nirabada Dhari
Oh, glorious.
Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Yadesha Charine. Can anybody not hear me? Okay. Here we go. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary, Srila Prabhupada. Canto 1, the creation, chapter 9, passing away of Vishvadeva in the presence of Lord Krishna. Today's text number 44.
Sampadyamanamagyaya.
Vishmang Brahmani Nishkale.
Vishmang Brahmani Nishkale.
Sarve babhuvus, sarve babhuvus te tushnim.
Sarve babhuvus te tushnim.
Sarve babhuvus te tushnim.
Sarve babhuvus te tushnim.
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye.
Vayam
Shiva Dinatyaye.
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye.
Vamanam Shiva Dinatyaye.
Sampadyamanam Agnyaya.
Sampadyamanam Agnyaya.
Bhishmang Brahmani Nishkale. Sarve bhuvus te tushnim.
Sarve
bhuvus te tushnim.
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye.
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye.
Please chant.
Padyamanam Agyaya.
Sampadyamanamadhyaya.
Ishmang Brahmani Nishkale.
Ishmang Brahmani Nishkale.
Sarve Babhuvus Te Tushning.
Sarve Babhuvus Te Tushning.
Yang Shiva Dinatye.
Sampadyamanamadhyaya. Sampadyamanamadhyaya.
Bhishmang Brahmani Nishkale.
Bhishmang Brahmani Nishkale.
Sarve Babhuvaste Tushmin.
Sarve Babhuvaste
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye.
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye.
Sampadyamanam Agyaya.
Sampadyamanam Agyaya.
Ishman Brahmani Nishkale.
Ishman Brahmani Nishkale.
Sarve Babu Vute Tushnim.
Sarve Vute Tushnim.
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye. Vayam Shri Sampadyamana Magnaya
Sampadyamana
Magnaya
Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale
Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale
Sarve Babu Vuste Tushnim
Sarve
Babu Vuste Tushnim
Vayam Shivadinatyaye
Vayam Shivadinatyaye
Sampadyamanam Ajnaya
Sampadyamanam Ajnaya
Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale
Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale
Sarve Babu Vuste Tusnem
Sarve Babu Vuste Tusnem
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye
Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye
Word for word meanings Sampadyamanam
Sampadyamanam
Having merged into.
Having merged into.
Agyaya.
Agyaya.
After knowing this.
After knowing this.
Bhishmam.
Bhishmam.
About Sri Bhishmadev.
About Sri Bhishmadev.
Brahmani.
Brahmani.
Into the Supreme Absolute.
Into the Supreme
Absolute.
Nishkale.
Nishkale.
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Sarve.
Sarve.
All present.
All present.
Babhuvute.
Babhuvute.
All of them became.
All of them came.
Tushnim.
Tushnim.
Silent.
Silent.
Vayang se'iva.
Vayang
se'iva.
Like birds.
Like birds.
Dina atyaye.
Dina atyaye.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
Translation, knowing that Bhishmadev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Please repeat, knowing that Bhishmadev had merged.
Knowing that Bhishmadev
had merged.
Into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute.
Into the unlimited eternity
of the Supreme
Absolute.
All present there became silent.
All present there became silent.
Like birds at the end of the day.
Like birds
at the end of the day.
So, Prabhus, we have over 24 devotees on right now, so especially those that are directly on Skype, you all... Please, if you could mute yourselves so that Shireshwar Prabhu can speak without any interruption, background noise. So please mute. Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada's purport. To enter into or to become merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute means to enter the original home of the living being. The living beings are all component parts and parcels of the absolute personality of Godhead. And therefore, they are eternally related with him as the servitor and the served. The Lord is served by all his parts and parcels, as the complete machine is served by its parts and parcels. Any part of the machine removed from the whole is no longer important Similarly, any part and parcel of the Absolute detached from the service of the Lord is useless. The living beings who are in the material world are all disintegrated parts and parcels of the Supreme Whole, and they are no longer as important as the original parts and parcels. There are, however, more integrated living beings who are eternally liberated. The material energy of the Lord, called Durga Shakti, or the superintendent of the prison house, takes charge of the disintegrated parts and parcels, and thus they undergo a conditioned life under the laws of material nature. When the living being becomes conscious of this fact, he tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and thus the spiritual urge of the living being begins. This spiritual urge is called Brahma Jigyasa, or inquiry about Brahman. Principally, this Brahma Jigyasa is successful by knowledge, renunciation, and devotional service to the Lord. Gyan, or knowledge, means knowledge of everything of Brahman, the Supreme. Renunciation means detachment of material affection, and devotional service is the revival by practice of the original position of the living being. The successful living beings who are eligible to enter into the realm of the Absolute are called the Jnanis, the Yogis, and the Bhaktas. The Jnanis and Yogis enter into the impersonal rays of the Supreme, but the Bhaktas enter into the spiritual planets, known as the Vaikunthas. In these spiritual planets, the Supreme Lord as Narayan predominates, and the healthy, unconditioned living beings live there by rendering loving service to the Lord in the capacity of servant, friend, parents, and fiancé. Interesting how Prabhupada says fiancé there. Fiancé. There, the unconditioned living beings enjoy life in full freedom with the Lord, whereas the impersonalist jnanis and yogis enter into the impersonal glowing effulgence of the Vaikuntha planets. The Vaikuntha planets are all self-illuminating like the sun, and the rays of the Vaikuntha Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma Jyoti is spread unlimitedly, and the material world is but a covered portion of an insignificant part of the same Brahma Jyoti. This covering is temporary, and therefore it is a sort of illusion. Bhishmadev, as a pure devotee of the Lord, enters the spiritual realm in one of the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord, in his eternal form of Partha Sarathi, predominates over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which bind the Lord and devotee are exhibited in the case of Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev never forgot the Lord in his transcendental feature as the Partha Sarathi, and the Lord was present personally before Bhishmadev while he was passing to the transcendental world. That is the highest perfection of life. Sampadyamana magyaya bhishmam brahmani ishkale sarve bhuvoste tushnim vayang shiva dinatyaye om agyana timirandasya gyanam janashalakaya chakshuru militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistyam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam Tadati Sukadantam Vansha Kalpataru Yascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Pasam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo. So I'm very grateful that I was able to give another class before this chapter ends, because as the chapter gets closer and closer to the end, it just gets sweeter and sweeter and more heavy and more intense and more intense lila and intense lessons. And when Ramananda Prabhu switched me with His Holiness Hanuman Prishi Goswami and gave me this verse for today, I was so happy because that is one of my favorite verses, mainly because of the last line. I just love the power of this simile. Tushning, Vayang Shiva Dinatyaye. Knowing that Drishpadev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Such drama, such divine drama. And drama has become a buzzword now. It's not part of it. So much drama. Okay. So there's always drama. When a drama comes from Krishna, Krishna loves drama. He loves to do things that are very dramatic and intriguing. That's much one side of it. Right, it's purport to, what is it, 1036. Yutam Chalayatam Asmi. I am also the gambling of cheats. I am a splendor. And the purport prophet is great.
Shireshwar, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt right now.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Everybody who's on Skype, please check to make sure that they're muted because
and telephones
because we're getting so much background noise that we can't hear Shreshwar Prabhu. Okay, Shreshwar, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. That's funny. I'm not hearing anything. Usually I hear it too, but anyway. Okay. What was I last saying? I forgot. I lost it now. Oop. Anyway. Oh, yeah, God's greatness is all-sided. So part of the greatness to me of this verse is that last line. I don't want to make just because I love it, I don't want to make it the whole class. But the reason drama is the best form of communication is because it engages all of us. It doesn't just engage our intellect. It doesn't just engage our logic or engage with all our emotions, and it puts us right in the action. What do they say about drama? Willing suspension of disbelief. So here, this is the real drama. We're all caught up in our dramas, but the goal of life is to enter into Krishna's drama. That's the whole thing, because again, this sense of drama, it comes from Krishna, and we hear that when Krishna is pleased to take us home, the last thing he does is he takes us on his drama, wherever he's manifesting it in the material world. It's like a finishing school. He puts the final touch on our Krishna consciousness so that we can enter his Nityalila and Golok. So here, this is practically the climax of the whole Mahabharata. Climax is in the Kurukshetra War, and this is the climax of this Leela with Krishna and Bhishma. Bhishma was born way back, the Mahabharata, the history, the ancient history of greater India, and the whole thing is leading toward this the classic conflict between good and evil, and especially we have the all good Krishna on the battlefield. So it's not simply a simple morality play, but it's a transcendental play. And Bhishma Dev has just passed. This is the verse that Maharaj gave. Suta Goswami said, thus Bhishma Dev merged himself and the super soul, Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight, and actions, and thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. Sometimes in Prabhupada's Leela, there's comparisons to Bhishma Dev because he was lying on materially speaking, this excruciating deathbed, disappearance bed, where an ordinary man would have been screaming in pain because it was just skin on bone. And that's intolerable. But Prabhupada, in that radical position, like Bhishma Dev, his body had become an effective pincushion or an arrow cushion. Just as Bhishma Dev was discoursing to Yudhisthira and everyone, from that extreme position, so Prabhupada was still dictating the Bhaktivedanta purports. And similarly, when Srila Prabhupada finally did pass on in those last hours, 7:24 p.m. Vrindavan time, India time, IST, November 14, 1977. Kaviraj was there. Kaviraj took a cotton swab. There was no movement of air. He stopped breathing. And at that point, the Kaviraj waved his hand upwards. He'd gone up. Because Prabhupada left out the mouth. His mouth was open. As the divine people do. And he returned to Nitya Lila. So Bhishma Dev has just passed. And everybody, you know, these heavy-duty, thoroughbred, powerful Maharati Kshatriyas with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right at Bhishma's side, to witness this last bit of Leela after Bhishma's finished discoursing, and then he's just absorbing himself wholly and solely in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, remembering him in that Partha Sarathi form, and there's Krishna, and there's Arjuna. And he's being given darshan of Krishna in the form which is just suitable for him. It's Siddhadeya, his eternal relationship with Krishna. And it's so powerful, and it's the whole Mahabharata is climaxing here. And Bhishma, who didn't have to die until he wanted to, so he chooses to leave right at the perfect time. And Krishna arranges the perfect instruction for the Pandav, for Yudhisthira and all of us. And then just as, you know, we even say in ordinary parlance, at the end of the day now, we say, you know, when all is said and done, and we say at the end of the day, right? We say that. So all has been said and all has been done, and then everybody becomes totally silent, like birds at the end of the day. I just love it. It just puts me right there with the Leela, and the lesson goes deep. I just want to, if you indulge me a little more, I just want to read a few references about silence from the Gita. In the verse describing austerity of the mind, 17:16. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. And then there's a remark about silence down in the purport. Prabhupada says, silence means that one is always thinking of self-realization. Person in Krishna consciousness observes perfect silence in this sense. Now I'm picking up background there. Oops, okay, that's gone. I'll read that again. Silence means that one is always thinking of self-realization. The person in Krishna consciousness observes perfect silence in this sense. There's a hint of the positive way Prabhupada spins silence. Here's another one. In the 12th chapter, where Krishna's enumerating, I think it's some 30 qualities, 30 plus qualities of those who are very dear to him. In text 18 and 19, Krishna says, one who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service. Such a person is very dear to me. And then silence, Prabhupada remarks, he does not speak of anything, this devotee who's dear to Krishna, does not speak of anything but the topics about Krishna. Therefore, he is called silent. Silent does not mean that one should not speak. Silent means that one should not speak nonsense. One should speak only of essentials, and the most essential speech for the devotee is to speak for the sake of the Supreme Lord. So even when the devotee, just as Bhishma, you know, it said in the verse, an earlier verse, it said that personality who's mind had ranged over so many topics and had fought in so many battlefields. So in the course of our service to Krishna, we do speak about so many things, and we engage in so many places, and our mind ranges over so many topics. But the more we mature, we see, we take in everything. Everything we see, hear, smell, touch, taste, everything reminds us of Krishna. That's how we know, and our senses are becoming purified. everything we take in through these knowledge-acquiring senses just remind us of Krishna. We see everything in relationship to Krishna. It's just the opposite of what, you know, the so-called deprogrammers were saying in the 70s, that these guys are just, you know, they're being controlled, their consciousness is being reduced, constricted, down to, you know, someone quacking like a duck. They're chanting Hare Krishna. This is just nonsense. They're being, you know, severely abused. But no, it's not like that at all. They misunderstood. But the devotee, he's able to, his consciousness expands, actually, just as Prabhupada writes in the introduction to Nectar Devotion, just as the a ray of light expands, so the devotee's affections expand beyond the body, you know, beyond the family, beyond the society, all the way up to the source. And so he's able to see and feel everything in relation to that absolute sentient, that transcendental autocrat, that supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So, one more reference to silence in the Gita where Krishna mentions is, among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. And of those who seek victory, I am morality. Of secret things, I am silence. And of the wise, I am wisdom. And silence, Prabhupada remarks, among the confidential activities of hearing, thinking, and meditating, silence is most important because by silence, one can make progress very quickly. So there is another, there is more, well, both ways. As Prabhupada spun silence positively, he doesn't speak nonsense, he speaks only of Krishna. There's also a place for silence. In fact, one kind of japa is silent. There's three kinds of japa. Mana japa, japa in the mind. Vachika japa, japa articulated, vibrated. And then there's upangsu. Actually, I confuse vachika and upangsu all the time. But anyway, one is in the mind, one is audible, and one is loud. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, especially in his Harinama Chintamani, recommends loud chanting. if your mind's giving you trouble, the Thakur says, yeah, go in the closet. Just scream the holy name. Yeah. Anyway, that's even in japa, there's three kinds of way of doing that. The Apache Indians have a saying that for every word you speak, you should hear seven. So, and that's sort of consistent with somebody who is introspective and grave, what to speak of a devotee, who has a life within, who isn't just dependent on external stimuli to be happy, but who, as the Gita says, yon tuk sukon tara ra mas, he's happy within. So there is a place also, literal silence too. Okay, so thank you for indulging me on the topic of silence. There's something about that last line, beginning with the last word in the third half line, tushning. That's actually the word for silent there, tushning. Tushning vayang shiva antinatye, like they became silent like birds at the end of the day. Now in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he just charges out of the gate. He's very proactive. He's not silent at all. He's silent in the sense that he's not speaking nonsense, of course. But, you know, lest we misunderstand, right? Just like it said in the last verse, that Bhishma merged himself in the super soul. I didn't hear the class, but I can imagine Maharaj must have touched on this. Well, similarly in this verse, Prabhupada also, lest we misunderstand, he starts the purport, his topic sentence again is, to enter into or to become merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute means to enter the original home of a living being. Does it mean we cease to exist? Does it mean we become Krishna, et cetera, like the Mayavad? But that merging is a total, complete merging of interest, just like lover and beloved. It's complete. It's a oneness of desire and of interest. Simply, you know, the pure lovers, they're simply interested in pleasing the beloved. There's no hint of selfishness or taking. like that. It's all just about giving. And that's Kaviraj Goswami's definition of true love. He says in Chaitanya Chaitamrita that there's a gulf of difference between lust, which is like iron, and love, which is like gold. Lust means sense gratification, either gross or subtle, and love means just selfless giving, surrender, like that. So, and Prabhupada, he says right away, it means to enter into the home. And then he gives an analogy, which is, you know, just perfect for the Iron Age, which, you know, sometimes we hear these analogies about machines and animals, like a sold-out animal or like a part in a machine, and we wince, right? Because we don't want to think of, you know, ourselves in those mechanical terms or those animalistic terms. But these analogies are actually very, very apt because we are simply part or of Krishna, and we're parcel. We're tiny. We have an individual role, like the individual screw as an all important role in the machine. But that's driving the point home. You know, we have no meaning. And then Prabhupada really gets into this. He says the living beings are all component parts, very mechanical images there, parts and parcels of the absolute personality of Godhead, and therefore they are eternally related with Him as the servitor and the served. Always trying to remind us, because you know that false ego that stays with us until we give up that idea, that promise, that hope, trying to be, you know, the first enjoyer and controller of the material world. The last snare of Maya is to think I'm God. And that you know, that false ego dies hard. So Prabhupada, he hits hard on that. The Lord is served by all His parts and parcels, as the complete machine is served by its parts and parcels. Any part of the machine removed from the whole is no longer important. We have become useless, asara, by willfully detaching ourselves from Krishna service. We have deliberately ignored, that's what ignorance means, is to ignore Krishna's position. And we are trying to set ourselves up here again and again and again. It never works. Similarly, any part and parcel of the Absolute detached from the service of the Lord is useless. We become useless. The living beings who are in the material world are all, I love this, because he takes this word that we hear, you know, you hear the word disintegrate now. He says, the living beings who are in the material world are all disintegrated, parts and parcels of the Supreme Whole, and they are no longer as important as the original parts and parcels. We are originally jewel-like. We are of Krishna. We shine. We're jyoti. We're light. But we've become covered by very dark desires. And so we have practically disintegrated our relationship with Krishna. We've thrown ourselves out of the fire. The spark has left the fire. And that analogy Prabhupada gives, sometimes it falls on, you know, something wet and it practically goes out. And something, 10 times it falls on damp and then and on dry grass. There's a good chance it can reignite. That was an analogy to the modes of nature. So we've practically disintegrated our spiritual form, personality, like that. There are, and then he says, there are, and we become less important. You know, Krishna is in our hearts. He hasn't left us. We've left Him. And He hasn't left us. He monitors our activities here in the material world as Antaryami, the super soul, Chaitanya Guru. But He's not really interested in what we're doing, as long as we're hell-bent, as long as we're, you know, determined to try to enjoy this world. He's only interested, and He's trying to give us hints. I mean, He's the Father, of course. He cares about us. But He's not really interested in our fruitive activities. No, He's waiting for us, the Upanishadic metaphor describes. He's like the bird, the witnessing bird on the tree of the body. There's two birds on the tree, and we are, you know, trying to taste, trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree of the body, trying to enjoy the body and the gross body and the subtle mind. Sometimes the fruits are bitter, sometimes they're sweet, but they always turn sour because of Krishna's energy of time. That's Krishna's arrangement. That material time energy always wears everything out, makes everything stale, makes everything bitter. So he's waiting for us to turn to him. And in the meantime, he's simply neutrally, impartially awarding us the fruits of our activities. Udasi Navadasi Nam. He's ever detached, he says, Krishna. Seated as though neutral. That's in his Paramatma feature. Now, we again start to become important, to use Prabhupada's word, useful to Krishna. Let's see, I'll get a little big. Here we go. I'll just read. There are, however, more integrated living beings who are eternally liberated. The material energy of the Lord, called Durga Shakti, or the superintendent of the prison house, takes charge of the disintegrated parts and parcels. That's Maya. She's a strict disciplinarian who teaches us tough lessons. And thus they undergo a conditioned life under the laws of material nature. Now, this is where Prabhupada turns and the redemption starts. When the living being becomes conscious of this fact, when we wake up to the fact that, yeah, this is actually a prison. Wow. You know, sometimes it appears to be minimum security, sometimes medium, sometimes maximum security, or allotted to us. He tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and thus the spiritual urge of the living being begins. So, and then Prabhupada spells it out. This is an oblique reference. Oh, I'll just read a little bit more. Principally, this Brahma Jigyasa is successful by knowledge, renunciation, and devotional service to the Lord. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in his praise of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Famous verse. Got it here. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartanika Purushapuranaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhir Yastamaham Prapadye. Big impersonalist. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a big bhakta by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he says here in the Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka, also quoted PC, he says, let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us, and here are those three items. Real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. Quoted in C.C. Madhya 6254. This is one of the external reasons. Internally, of course, Mahaprabhu is tasting Mahabhava of Srimati Radharani. But even the external reasons are so glorious. Such compassion comes to teach us these things. And then Prabhupada elaborates on those things. Gyan, or knowledge, means knowledge of everything of Brahman, the Supreme. Renunciation means detachment of material affection. And devotional service, the revival by practice of the original position of the living being. Those are big, big things. The successful living beings who are eligible to enter into the realm of the Absolute are called the Jnanis, the Yogis, and the Bhaktas. So I'm going to go down to the last paragraph now, because this is where it all comes home. Back to the Rasa. We enter into the Tattva so we can enter into the Rasa as absolute sentient. And ultimately, reality is all about engaging in loving exchange with Krishna. So Prabhupada writes at the end, Bhishma Dev is a pure devotee of the Lord. Enter the spiritual realm, etc. One of the Vaikuntha planets. He was seeing Krishna by Krishna's grace as Partha Sarathi. As we mentioned in the previous class, he was more fortunate in a sense than Arjuna, because he was seeing Krishna from the front. He was seeing all the apparent blood and the dust and Krishna's shield dropping his claw and coming after him like a lion. So he's remembering this, and Krishna's before him as Arjuna's friend. And so Prabhupada writes, Bhishma Dev never forgot the Lord in his transcendental feature as the Partha Sarathi, and the Lord was present personally before Bhishma Dev while he was passing to the transcendental world. That is the highest perfection of life. So that day is coming for all of us, sooner or later. We're all going to have to lie down in darkness for the last time, so to speak. But that darkness will be lit up by the mercy of the Lord. The more we practice, and then practice makes perfect. If Krishna is pleased with us, he will come before us just in that form that is suitable to our meditation, that he's revealed to us. Prabhupada writes, I forget where, but he says, one day Krishna will come before you and say, I am like this, I am like this. So, it's actually rare that someone gets a darshan of the Lord beforehand, as we read in the scriptures. Sometimes it happens, but it's pretty rare. But at least at the end, and even in our ISKCON history, we have, I think I mentioned in previous classes how devotees are getting extraordinary mercy at the end. And they're having visions and they're getting revelations from Krishna. And devotees are witnessing these things. So, as Prabhupada would tell people in the 50s when he was distributing, he wrote an article, I forget the name now, something about seeing God. Yeah, somebody was challenging him, right? One of the tea stalls, Prabhupada was distributing this back to God. Can you show me God? So Prabhupada immediately took that, wrote an article about seeing God. It's not a cheap thing. The eyes have to be smeared with the salve of love. And he said at one point, don't think that I'm a madman when I say you can see God face to face. The human life is meant face to face, eye to eye. Just like Bhishma Dev. So at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, dinatyaye, when we become silent, this is the perfection of our lives. So I'll read the verse again in English. And if you do have a question or comment, please speak up because I have some blockage in my ears. I have to go to the ear doctor today, get it unblocked, so I'm a little hearing impaired. So the verse says, knowing that Bhishma Dev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Questions coming?
Well, Shirisha, I have four questions, so I'll just ask them one by one so others can
ask. Ramananda, you're a big hog.
Okay, well, I'll just ask one by one. Could you elaborate on the one statement you made about... just like Srila Prabhupada says in several places, that the last snare of Maya is to think that you are God. So when he refers to that it's the last snare of Maya, does that mean that we eventually have to go through this, that we went through it before we came to the point of being a devotee? Can you elaborate what that means?
Yeah, the last snare of Maya. Even when we take up spiritual life, you notice how we're, even though we hear every day, da-da-da-da-da, that we're not the controller, we're not the enjoyer, we're servants of God, that false ego is always trying to assert that. It's always trying to do that. So even though we fail, materially, it doesn't work, still, even when we take up spiritual life, just like in the prison, people go to prison, and, because they've done something, and they got to, pay the piper, pay their dues. But still, what do they do in prison? Most people, instead of having a change of heart and trying to rectify themselves and improve themselves, most people just learn how to be better criminals. And while they're in the prison even, most of their meditation is how I can enjoy even in the prison. How I can get an extra pack of cigarettes, an extra helping of Jell-O, how I can smuggle some drugs, how I can make some money, So that false ego, it's absurd too, because it's just like like Prabhupada talks about sour grapes. We try and try and try to enjoy, we can't get the grapes, and then we say, the grapes are sour anyway. They're sour. So it's like we can enjoy this material world, and we fail at everything, you know, we're always even if we appear to succeed, even if we, you know, die with a lot of money and good reputation, you know, but we're materialists, and even if we're written up in history books, you know, that this guy was a great guy, actually we fail if we don't actually rejoin Krishna, if we don't graduate from the cycle of birth and death. So the last snare of Maya is that we unceremoniously, as Prabhupada puts it, declare ourselves God. Okay, I'm a failure, but, you know, out of frustration, we try to negate everything, and we just try to merge, you know, in the impersonal sense. I'm just going to become one with it all. And if I can't be the best, okay, I'm just going to merge with it all, right? It's just like, it's just another trick of the false ego. It's like a tantrum. You know, I failed at everything, but I'm going to somehow merge and just be one with it all, and I'll somehow get around failing that way. Yeah, it's
just, can I make a quick comment on that?
Okay, well, I'm only going to be here 9-10 more minutes, so I don't know if we have time for comments upon comments.
It's just a real quick one, is that the Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, it's the moksha is the last snare. The other ones that were before the last ones were Dharma Artha Kama.
Okay.
That was explained once. And of course, what you said makes sense, but it's interesting to think Dharma Artha Kama were the first snares, and the last one is the moksha.
Yes.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you. Is that Prabhupada Prabhu? Who is that?
Yes, that was our Prabhupada explained it like that. It's Madame Mohan speaking now.
Okay. Jai Madame Mohan.
Hi. Nice.
You sounded like Prabhupada Das. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll let Ramananda, you want to ask number two, or are you going to give a chance to somebody else?
No, well, let's see if anyone else has any questions or comments. I have three more.
I would like to just say something. I'm captivated by the poetic image here in this verse. When people witness something extraordinary, they become speechless oftentimes. And Bhishma, he just showed some sort of perfection of leaving the body, consistent with his position as one of the 12, his eternal position as one of the 12 Mahajans. But such a noble soul has, you know, has left their presence to go back home, back to Godhead. I mean, does it get any more dramatic than that? And it reminds me of Haridas Thakur's passing in perfect meditation on the Lord. And even today, at large gatherings, even at sporting events, sometimes the crowds are requested through the loudspeaker to observe a moment of silence, often to respect someone's passing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yes.
And I get
the power of silence. The power of silence. In speech, they talk about the pregnant pause. The best speech givers, they pause more than anybody to let their point sink in. Go ahead, Vidal.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's actually even music. I heard someone explain that the gaps between notes and what's going on in between has something to do with the
power
of it, the power of it.
Right.
Short question: Parthasarathi, is he four-handed in Vaikuntha?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. If anybody can speak from a verse, as Prabhupada says, you always have to back it up. Anybody? Okay, you'll have to research it, Vida.
No problem.
Anybody else before Ramananda asks number two?
I got a quick comment. It's Carla Petit.
Yes, Carla Petit.
Something that I was, when Vidugga was just speaking, my experience, my background is for the last 20 years has been doing a lot of wedding photography. And even in relationships, there is the term, the spaces between your togetherness.
Mm.
Or like, the support for a door, it's got to be apart in order to stand.
It's so got to be a what? It's got to be a what?
the two door jams have to be apart. They have to be separate in order to support the door. So, I mean, it's a principle that goes through pretty much everything.
Mm.
That's my point.
Sweet. Thank you. Ramanandaji.
Okay. I was just going to say, it's interesting that just a few verses ago, there is that it mentioned that Bhishmadeva saw Krishna as forearm form. But anyway, this is kind of relationship to this. It said that Bhishmadeva entered the spiritual realm of one of the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord has his eternal form as Parthasarathi. So immediately I was thinking, okay, so is he driving a horse, or is he driving a chariot all the time? Is he with Arjuna all the time? And then the next sentence or so, it says that out of love and affection, the devotee is always with the Lord, and Bhishmadeva never forgets the Lord in that transcendental form of Parthasarathi. So this is what my question is. So is that what it is? Is that the just like Bhishmadeva, he never forgets Krishna in that form of Parthasarathi in the Vaikuntha planet? So it's not that like he's continuously having this one pastime, but rather he just always remembers him like that in the Vaikuntha planet.
Well, I guess we'll have to go there and find out, huh?
Okay.
Whatever it is, it's ever increasing. It's not like, you know, like you said, it sounds, what do you say, like a frozen tableau. You know, it sounds boring. It's the same old, we say. In the material world, it's like that. That's why we always, you know, that's why we say mother variety is the spice of life, or the mother of enjoyment, as Prabhupada would say. Whatever it is, it's ever fresh, it's ever increasing. It's not like here. So no worries, mate.
Anyone else have any other questions? Otherwise, I have two more. Okay. Verses ago, it was mentioned in purport especially that anyone who is in the presence of the Lord of the battlefield of the Kurukshetra, they were all liberated. Now, there is a description in the Mahabharata that after Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was the last one to leave. His brothers, Draupadi and Kunti, they all left before him. But he finally left this world. And then when he entered the heavenly planets, he saw Duryodhana and all Duryodhana's brothers, like they're all in the heavenly planets. And then he asked where his mother and his brothers were, and they took him to hell. You know, that whole description is there. So what about liberation? They went to heaven.
Anybody have a reference that explain more in the verse or in the purport? Ramananda, did it explain more what that was all about?
I'll just say generally that anyone who is in the presence of the Lord attains salvation, liberation.
So you're saying that some people went to hell?
No, heavenly planet. That hell was only, that would be illusory just for, No, the heavenly planets. At least for Duryodhana and his brother.
Well, Dhritarashtra, he went to the heavenly planets. It also said Duryodhana too?
Duryodhana, yeah.
Okay.
That was temporary, isn't it?
Anyway, I don't know. Any more questions?
Duryodhana and the Kauravas were given heaven first. I mean, Indra's planet first, and then they were sent back to hell, isn't it? Sent to hell, rather.
Okay, we got to give references when we make these statements. Can you back it up, Prabhu?
Okay, I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what I heard last in one of the lectures here in Chennai.
Because they were all Kshatriyas, they went to heavenly planet, Duryodhana and brothers.
Yeah, Duryodhana and brothers were given heavenly planets first.
Yeah, no, they went to heavenly planet, not first, but they went to heavenly planet.
Pandavas given the help. We have
even though Duryodhana was conscious of the Pandavas, that is the other heavenly planet.
Ramanand, you got one more question?
Yes, I do. In the verse, it stated that Brahmani Nishkale, Bhishmadev merged his consciousness into the absolute. And in the previous verse, it also it mentioned Srila Prabhupada very clearly stated that what's called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, that refers to Bhishma Dev's always merging himself into thinking of the Lord within his mind and remembering his activities, you know, right. Because his consciousness is so fixed, it was Nirvikalpa Samadhi. I just wanted to clarify. So whenever Mayavadis refer to Nirvikalpa Samadhi, that refers to when they think they've merged into oneness of the Absolute.
Yeah, all these terms have an impersonal and a personal application. That's why Prabhupada is always quick to take us to Bhagavan realization, lest we be, you know, distracted and bewildered by impersonalism or word jugglery. So, I hear talking going on in the back. Okay. Yeah, you're right. There's always got to remember. That's why when personalism is only implicit, Prabhupada makes it explicit, lest we get just bewildered, because he knows where Krishna's going with it all. And that's called Vaishnava poetic license, and that's what the secular scholars don't like. Too bad Vaishnava knows in Hunter, because he knows Vaidaishya Sarvairaham Eva Vedyo. He knows that Krishna's compiled the Vedas, he's the goal of the Vedas, he knows Veda as it is. So the devotee loves it when the Acharya does that, and the secular scholars hate it. So, what? Okay, I got to run, but it's been really wonderful hearing and speaking, associating with you all. I wish I could do it more, but I have duties at the temple. So.
Well, thank you for there.
Amazing.
There were nice. 30 devotees on today from all over the world. Thank you very much for giving this class. Really appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you for having me, and I guess I'm on next
week. Just a reminder that tomorrow we continue with a seminar by Urmila Mataji with the Upadeshamrita Part 2. So please attend. And then anyone who would like to listen tonight, at least tonight here in Hawaii, we're going to be reading from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Haribo.
Haribo.